Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence, behind the headlines, from someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, sleuths of the night. Once again, we gather in search of the truth, dark and mystery. It's the Drunk Turkey Show.
Big development today in the investigation into the murders of four University of Idaho students. According to state and local officials and court documents, 28-year-old Brian Christopher Koberger.
Brian Koberger.
Has been arrested. He was arrested and arraigned this morning in Pennsylvania.
New details on what Brian Koberger was doing right before his arrest. Police says a tactical team burst in to arrest the Idaho murder suspect. He was in pajamas and latex gloves, stuffing trash into Ziploc bags.
Hey, greetings from the year 3000. It still sucks. This is Philip J. Fry, and you're listening to the Drunken Turkey Show. You're one stop for this sort of thing. Hit that button, like and subscribe. You know what to do, just like every other podcast.
Just like every other podcast. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the DT Show. I'm Daniel, and today we're going to get back into the disappearance of Melody Buzzard. We have an excellent returning guest, former FBI agent Jennifer Coffendaffer. And everybody, welcome to the show. Jennifer, how are you doing, Jennifer?
You know what? I am doing so great. I am so inspired more than ever in terms of child advocacy. I just got done watching Tim Tebow speak. And for those of you who don't know it, he is a huge child advocate concerning trafficking. It's more than an advocate. What he has going on is unbelievable with his foundation and predators and people who assault children. It's just amazing. So I'm feeling pretty inspired, I have to tell you.
That's awesome. You know, Tim Tebow is a guy that more people should look up to. He did everything right. He did the things that, you know, he made it to the NFL. You know, his success in the NFL was, he beat my team in the playoffs. And so I'll forever, you know, hold that against him. But outside of that, I mean, he was a guy that was successful and did things the right way. And so I think a lot more people should look up to Tim Tebow, to be honest with you. you know, a lot. It's been a minute since we've talked. You know, everything good with you? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I got to tell you, though, let me let my dog in. He's looking at me with these sad eyes because I put him outside and I just saw him over here. Let me grab him. It takes 1 second. He's like 3 feet from the door.
No problem. This is a live show, guys. So this is what we do.
I didn't want him to be, you know, with the whole sad face. So sorry, everybody. No, everything's going great. How's everything with you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. You know, the Brian Koberger case has come to an end. I know there's still a lot of things that are coming in and out. I've kind of taken a step back from it just because it feels like it's a little bit repetitive at this point, you know, talking about the same things, you know, but there are some interesting aspects of it to actually see the knife sheath and things like that. There's a movie coming out on Lifetime. I know that the family members of Kaylee aren't too pleased with the fact that a movie is coming out. What are your thoughts on the movie and it being a Lifetime movie and some of the, I guess the actors were doing some things on social media that maybe were a little bit insensitive?
Well, I have to tell you, you know, unlike really any other case, except Gabby Petito is completely embroiled in Gabby Petito, and certainly the Idaho 4 case, I think more than any other case, even Gabby Petito, absolutely embroiled in that case from, you know, day one. And I'm like you, I started to really step back, and I'll tell you why I step back, other than when I see breaking news like the sheath. I think a lot of people wanted to see the sheath. They wanted to understand the blood situation, things like that. So I addressed that. But and then, of course, this Lifetime movie, I addressed this. I really feel like we should kind of go where the families go. And I know we can't lump all the families together because it's been a dichotomy, right? The Mogans kind of have tended to side over with the Consalves family, usually the Chapins have always been kind of really in their own lane because they're so religious and they took on the case so differently, the Cronodals. But I just think if any family is really upset about something, this happened with the Gabby Petito case, where there's some things that came out that they just did not approve of. They just didn't feel it represented what happened. And I feel like I'm getting that same vibe here. So I haven't been supporting the Lifetime
movie. Yeah, that's true. There's always a drama aspect to these movies that come out, even if they are based on true events. They're not factual. It's not like a documentary. So there's a dramatization aspect for it. You know, I was watching a Netflix movie not too long ago, and it was related to a person who was convicted for, I guess, starting an arson, a fire at his house, and it took the lives of his daughters, and he ended up being executed here in Texas. And then years afterwards, I guess evidence has come out that maybe it was possible that he wasn't, you know, it wasn't done on purpose. And so I was watching that, and I was watching it on Netflix, and, you know, there's a lot of different things that are happening, and he's about to be executed, and something happens, and I go, and I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but I go and I look up, you know, how true it was. And although what happens does happen, it doesn't happen at that time. It happens at a different time, but it's placed then for the added drama. And I can see why family members would not like movies, especially if they're not involved in the movie, you know, where they're not getting a perspective about it, their loved one. I think that also plays a huge role. And it doesn't sound like many of the families, if any of the families, are involved in this movie.
Yeah, and I'll add to that. I think the whole drama about this movie was who was going to play BK. Yeah. You know, who was going to have that role? And then there was a big to-do about that. And God, what a slap in the face that's the big punchline, that's the big draw, the hook that they're getting everybody is, ooh, who's going to play the murderer instead of the kids? I would have been much more interested to know who's going to be Kaylee and Zanna and Ethan and Maddie. Who did they get to find somebody with their same character and likeness? That would have been way more interesting to me. But I don't know if you remember this, when all of this came out, it was all focused on him. And I truly believe that's a big part of why families were upset.
Yeah. You know, and I understand why, and I agree. It's just, you know, unfortunately, this happens in almost every high profile case. I would have been more surprised I'd be more surprised if this is the only movie that comes out. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's more movies that do come out on different platforms and things like that. You know, it's just unfortunate, but what can they do? You know what I mean? There's only so much. I guess they can, I guess, file a lawsuit against them, but it's a tough battle. But they did win the getting the pictures censored. I was kind of shocked about that one, to be honest with you. I was for it. I want to be clear. I'm for it. But I was shocked that it was going to actually happen, given the fact that that's never happened before.
Right. I mean, look at JonBenet's, and I put a lot of JonBenet's up in a censored form. But yeah. I mean, some of the most high profile cases, the Manson murders, JonBenet, the Menendez murders, all of that, we can see everything, every gruesome detail, and many, many other cases. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, three that I can put my hands right on right now in my library. And you know, but those pictures were gruesome. The Delphi pictures, gruesome, gruesome, yeah. Gruesome. So I am so glad that they decided not to put those out there.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I was shocked that it went through that way. I was pleasantly shocked. I was like, wow. So, you know, I guess there could be some more things in this case that might start turning things around. I mean, I think this case is setting a precedent for a lot of things. In the Charlie Kirk assassination, Tyler Robinson is now being afforded the right to wear his suit and things of that nature before trial and not be in there in a jumpsuit. And, you know, a lot of people are pointing that connection with Brian Koberger. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of the same tactics in the future.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's just that case spilled over into so many venues in terms of this law you're talking about being made, or not law, but a precedent, right?
Right.
And actually some other precedents. So I think you're going to see that in other cases for sure, especially these high profile cases. What I'm wondering if we're going to see is all these attorneys, for instance, in the Charlie Kirk case, Brian Koberger at one point, I think he had at least five, it might've been six. And these were highly paid because even though they were working for the government, if you will, you know, it was a public defender's case because they found him indigent, not able to pay on his own. The salaries, I went through all of this, all the numbers, and I can't remember, but she made well over $1 million on this, and they didn't even go to trial. They would have gone to trial. That figure would have been probably $2+ million. And of course, it's still being milked with all these motions and answers. But there were so many people they had on the payroll to serve in different capacities. I keep wondering if we're going to continue to see that happen where, you know, instead of one or two trial lawyers, two, maybe three, you've got five, six, seven, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, once you start a trend or once you start doing it for one, you got to, you know, other people are going to be arguing that, hey, if this person was allowed at those options or extra lawyers or whatever you may be, it would be discriminatory to not allow another person. And I think everybody's just going to kind of follow suit. I think, you know, the argument that Steve had, especially with like the jumpsuit and not seeing a person, you know, wearing a jumpsuit before trial. I think especially for high profile crimes, I don't think we're going to see a defendant in a jumpsuit anymore in a trial until they're convicted. And so that's the precedent, in my opinion. But kind of transitioning here, there's a missing persons case out of Lompoc, California. A little girl named Melody Buzzard disappeared. She's missing under very suspicious circumstances, in my opinion. She's hasn't been seen since October. I think the last time they saw her was October 9th. And her mom is uncooperative. You know, I know this is a case that you've been covering. When did you first start, or what grasped your attention? Obviously, the little girl missing, but how did you follow this case? Was it through national media? Did somebody call you on it?
You know, it's such a great question. So, there's a weird.
Let me. There you go. It was my fault. There we go.
So it was interesting. You know, anytime I'm scrubbing, and I know you scrub too, I'm just such a big scrubber in the mornings. I get up and first thing I do is sending out a good morning tweet, usually just something funny, something light, something interesting. And then I scrub, and I was just sitting there scrubbing, and out of the blue, I just happened upon this case, the Melody mm-hmm. Buzzard case. And I posted about it, you know, hoping to really incite some interest, because I found that initially I thought it had a lot of dimensions like Harmony Montgomery or Oakley Carlson, where you had somebody that was missing, but nobody really knew she was missing. And then that really ended up changing as more and more facts came out, and it became to mimic a case called the Catherine Hogard case. I hope I'm saying her last name right. I just want to make sure I say it right. Hogger. Hogger? Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was so much like that because she also just all of a sudden her children disappeared. That was in 2014. And Daniel, I tell you, she just got charged with murder for their death, for their murder. But it was a very similar situation. And when I saw this case of Little Melody, I posted, and Julie Grant, who a very good friend of mine, Julie contacted me right away, and she thought it sounded really interesting and had me on right away concerning Melody's case. And so then Court TV really started running with it. And of course, News Nation, because, you know, I'm on News Nation, they started running with it. But I'm so sad to see none of the other really big time networks. Nobody is running with this case. And I'm just shocked because this is a little girl missing under the bizarrest of circumstances, and she deserves to be found.
I agree. I agree. 100%. I agree. And, you know, those bizarre circumstances are she was apparently the school made contact with her mom because they hadn't seen you know, Melody for some time. She was supposed to be homeschooled, but there was some documentation that was required that wasn't filled out. And, you know, they go and speak to the mom and they can't find her, or they speak to the mom and the mom's being uncooperative relative to where her daughter is. And yeah, I want to bring up what they put out here. This is from the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office. They said that Ashley provided no verifiable explanation about Melody's whereabouts. To me, that means that she said something, that she said she is somewhere. This reminds me a lot of Casey Anthony about when they were asking her where you know, her little girl was at, and she kept saying, oh, it's this person or that person. I know where she's at. But they couldn't verify any information. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting. What do you think or about that? Or do you think she's just clammed up? Because they said that she's uncooperative. What do you think she's said to this point?
Well, look, she is not only being uncooperative, she's absolutely concealing the whereabouts of Melody, right. Period, full stop. Melody hasn't been seen. Actually, very recent news came out. This was, I believe, on Sunday, that she's actually now been seen, Daniel, on her way home. So initially, All we had was the outbound, but now we have the inbound. So it was actually on the 11th that she was seen. We haven't seen the footage, but law enforcement has verified that. But back to your question, I think she has said basically nothing. I think she's providing, as they say, no verifiable information except for her probably saying she's fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't go on to say that they have not confirmed Melody's location or welfare. So to me, I don't even think she's saying she's fine. I think she's just saying, I know where she's at. And you know, that's it. Now, why haven't law enforcement arrested her? Well, you know what? That's going too far. So what would you do if you were investigating this case? You would, the first thing you get is that this little girl's missing. Mom's being uncooperative with CPS. What is the first thing you would do in this missing person's case?
I tell you, the number one thing I would do is I would hightail it over to the delinquency court in California. I would meet with the judge and I would say, listen, we have a bad situation here. We have a mother who's being uncooperative. We've served search warrants. We're going through all the data to try to find the location based on the vehicle information, based on the cell information, based on credit card usage. We are at a total dead end in terms of knowing what happened to Melody. Please, can you issue a summons and call this mother into court and make her respond to the summons as to exactly where Melody is? If she does not respond, please hold her in contempt, lock her up as we continue, you know, to investigate. That would be, at this point, one of my first moves.
Why do you think that, well, has that happened? I'm not familiar. Do you know if something like that is in the works?
Well, it's interesting. I found some very important footage, I thought, of an individual going, you know, I think it's a TikToker. I'd never heard of them. Okay. You know, they had like 100 followers or something like that. But basically, they went to the courthouse on, it's been probably a week and a half or so ago. And they said, is Ashley Buzzard the mother? Is Ashley Buzzard here? And they said, you know, use this phone and make an inquiry. So she goes over to the phone and dials it. And essentially they say, well, she was in court, and this is being repeated, right, through the person, and that she might get held or something like that. So that gave me some hope that the delinquency court had called her in. But then I found out that actually Ashley Buzzard is answering to a lot of issues concerning money. She owes a lot of people a lot of money, different banks, credit cards. I think it's up to $23,000, at least one particular debtor. And so my understanding is she is in and out to some degree of, you know, hearings and issues about this money, perhaps. So my mind went to delinquency court, but I think it was just wishful thinking. But if she has been to delinquency court, which I don't want to scrub that off the table because that could have been true, we will never know, because when you go to these courts about minors, we're going to never be able to see any court records on that, period, unless something's leaked illegally. So sadly, if she was there for that reason, which kind of makes sense because they said they could hold her, she didn't get held, obviously. And we would probably never know, Daniel, which is really terrible.
Yeah, it is. It very much is. You mentioned some of the things that you would have gone to the judge with to get that order. Some of the things are like financial stuff. I haven't seen anything there that they've gone through the financial stuff. It sounds like all they've had is the car and two searches of her house. And I think a search of her storage unit. Now, what all would they need now to get the phone? Like, or have they got the phone? I haven't seen that anywhere that they've gotten her phone or her electronic stuff or her financial records and things of that nature.
I think they have all of that. They've talked about that they have done subpoenas, and we know they searched the rental car. They got a warrant for that. They searched the house, as you mentioned twice, the storage unit. And I believe, I mean, knowing how the Bureau works, anything you find. So for instance, if we went to a house and there was a small safe, then we would literally have to write an affidavit for that safe before we could look in the safe, even though it's in the house, just in an abundance of caution. So I could tell you that in this case, especially considering the gravity of this case and the fact that the Bureau is working in conjunction with the local law enforcement, that they're going to be getting all of these warrants for the electronics separately, the cell phones separately. And I think that that's been done to the degree it's been able to be done. They've been a little closed mouth, but just the fact they released those pictures, you know, the wig pictures and now the picture of Ashley. And now they've said that they saw them on the Utah border, Utah-Colorado border on the 11th coming back. That is huge because now the timeline completely shifts. That means she didn't drop her off in Nebraska. There was no sex trafficking of her. A lot of people thought that that could be a possibility. I never really thought that, only because I think this woman is mentally out there and she wants to keep total control of her daughter.
Yeah, I also said that here recently. It's funny we're on the same wavelength here. She changed her license plate on October 8th, and on the return trip on October 9th is when they see her. They have video and they capture proof of life, right? And this is near the Colorado-Utah border on the way back home. So to me, it sounded like whatever the objective was for their concealment, they already had surpassed that objective. Whether that was like a drop off, you know, you mentioned financial problems. Maybe perhaps she got involved with somebody who was going to help her out with some money, and she was going to go drop some things off. Well, it sounds like she was already, whatever she was going to do had already happened, and she was on her way home, and got a pretty good distance away from, I think it was like Nebraska is where they said that she went to. And, you know, they see her in the Colorado, Utah area. So she, you know, she made it a pretty good distance away from that. So to me, that kind of screamed out, you know, like either an altercation between mom and daughter, or maybe perhaps a mental episode between the mom. You know, I've heard some rumors that she may have been, you know, dealing with that. I think some of it may have came from family members who talked about Ashley having some mental problems. What do you think? What are your thoughts on the possibilities there? I know you mentioned that you don't think it was a trafficking situation. I'm also on board with that. What do you think? Do you think it was an altercation?
So, well, first of all, I want to apologize for saying my dates wrong. I think I said my dates wrong. Out on the 7th, yeah. Back on the 9th. I think I said 9th and 11th. So apologies for that. I just want to square that away. But secondarily to that, right, there's only three options available. She either killed Melody. She took Melody to somebody to take care of that she knows that family members didn't know somewhere in Nebraska. Well, not in Nebraska, because now we know it. She didn't leave her there, right. But maybe took her or had plans to do that, or a trafficking situation, right? There's kind of three sort of options to me. Trafficking has always been off the board, only because I don't think she would ever want to lose track of Melody. To your point, an altercation, what I think is she is in such a off-base mental place. And I say that, let me tell you why. The mom has said, her mom, Melody's or Ashley's mom, has said she needs help. She should be getting help. She wasn't able to care for Melody. We know back in 2000, she lost custody of Melody. Melody was living with an uncle, at least for some period of time. Then the mother earned the right, apparently, to get Melody back, but has kept her really from family seeing her. Her mother, meaning Ashley's mother, saw her about 2 years ago, was the last time the house was in you know, a hot mess, disarray, rancid food. She was worried she was feeding her that food. And she basically said she is not capable of caring for Melody. And yet Melody was in custody for her. So I picture a woman that is worried CPS or others are going to be coming to take Melody away after the school started making inquiry. So to me, there's always in these cases, in almost every case, there's a triggering point, right? Brian Koberger getting fired. In this case, I think, oh my God, they're figuring out that, you know, Melody, you know, the paranoia sets in and I think she started figuring out they're going to start coming after me. I can't just hide Melody anymore. Combined with, I think, some serious financial issues, which I could show you the article, but they specifically talk about the amount. And I think it was $23,000 that she was in debt. And they even named the bank that she was in debt to. And so I think you combine that and it was a complete mental breakdown. And I think she took Melody cross country. Look, you know, the hours it takes to drive that 20 hours pedal to the metal. I think I did the math, 75 miles an hour, 1500 miles pedal to the metal. I mean, who can drive 20 hours straight? That's without stopping. So just to go there and back in 3 days was really almost impossible.
Yeah, it was, that was one of the things that I had noticed as well. And, you know, the other thing too, that we know is that it was a rental vehicle. So there's gotta be some sort of, most likely some sort of GPS. So law enforcement should know where that vehicle is. You know, we're looking at this picture here. They're wearing wigs. You know, like you said, you mentioned the financial issues. So one thing that I did notice, and I hate to kind of ramble here for a second, but I know where I want to go now. I was listening to one of the family members talk and saying that there was family members of the father in Utah. And obviously that was around the area where Melody and Ashley drove through, and one of the last places where she was seen. Now, what all do you know about the father, Ashley's, or Melody's father? I know he passed away in a motorcycle accident. You know, the way the family member was alluding to was just kind of like, you know, she knows some people there. You know, there was some friends of her husband's or her late husband's that were there. And it just kind of sounded like she was alluding to something there. Do you know anything about the father?
The only thing I know about the father, you mentioned he died in a motorcycle wreck when I believe Melody was around 6 months old. The family, even though now we see them on, you know, television crying and, you know, they're definitely are a face in the media now. They haven't even seen Melody. I believe it was somewhere between 4 and 6 years. Mm-hmm. So that always tells me a lot, but then I guess we have to put that on balance with the fact that you have Ashley, the mother, who is not letting, according to the family members, letting them see her. So part of that's the mom. I mean, you know, in these custody situations, that mom, when you have custody of your child and you're the sole person with custody, you can take your child to Nebraska and you can drop them off with anybody you want. You can take them to Utah, Colorado. You can drop them off. There is absolutely no law against that. And that's what is a huge problem that law enforcement is running up against. You know, I think that that's why we're not seeing an arrest. In that other case that I told you about, which is out of Maryland, for anybody who wants to look it up, this Catherine Hoggle case, they ran into the same problems, you know, exactly like this. This is such a perfect boilerplate case for this case because you had somebody with severe mental problems. In fact, Daniel, her problems are so bad, they ended up finally arresting her on child endangerment, which I think a lot of people think, why aren't we arresting her on child endangerment? Right. Because she's got her in this wig, she's traveling cross country, she can't say where she's at. Let's just throw a child endangerment charge. Well, that's what they did in that other case. And in that other case, the woman was so mentally off balance, she's been in and out of mental hospitals and in and out of evaluations. And even though they just this year, in 2025, charged this woman now 11 years later with double murder for her children, they said she's incompetent to stand trial. And so they're arguing that. And I wonder if this isn't something the FBI and law enforcement isn't considering, is running into that situation where you have somebody mentally unstable and they're trying to figure out what happened to Melody with honey, not vinegar. Does that make sense? In other words, if we throw her and lock her up in a cell, are we ever going to find Melody?
No, I understand that. And that's one of the tactics I think some folks have thought, maybe perhaps that's one of the reasons why they haven't arrested her. Maybe they're also wanting to see what she does, see where she goes, see if she leads anybody anywhere. Gina comes in with $5 saying, thank you for being the voice for the voiceless, Daniel. I appreciate that. Thank you, Gina, for your support. And to me, so let's go with what we know. So we know that she's wearing a wig here. This is October 7th. This is when they're picking up the vehicle. She changes out the license plates. She's wearing a wig. So obviously she's trying to avoid some detection. To go to this length, this sounds like this is something that had to do some planning. So, I don't think this is something that she thought of that day, like, hey, let's go get wigs and, you know, steal some license plates. And you know what I mean? There's some planning here. What do you think in your mind? Do you think that there's something illegal going on here? Do you think this is like, I brought this up last night. I was like, maybe if she has some sort of mental health and she has some sort of paranoia thing going on, maybe she thinks somebody's following her and she's, you know, driving around doing something crazy, you know, like a Beautiful Mind type of situation where she thinks that something is happening that may not be happening. You know, to me, it just seems like there's a little bit of a paper trail there. It sounds like there should be a digital footprint with the GPS of the vehicle. Even though she's doing all this stuff, what do you think she's doing there? What are your thoughts on her movements and actions?
I really, from day one, after listening to her mother and other people who have known her and then watching these actions, have felt we might have a Beautiful Mind type situation. In other words, just paranoid, thinking people are after her. And I know you've probably intersected with these people. I've intersected with them a lot. Yeah. And their alternative reality is unbelievable. Chinese spies chasing them. You know, the government wants to kill them. And it is so real to them. And actually, people can go online. You can go online and see this. They wear tinfoil. I am not kidding you. That isn't some sort of misnomer. They even put tinfoil on their windows and their doors because they pull out. I know somebody personally who has pulled out their cavity or their fillings.
Yeah.
Because they really believe that the people after them can read their minds through some sort of, you know, source that goes through the metal. And that if they put up this foil, it's some sort of, you know,
barrier,
force field. It's crazy. And I'm wondering, I've always thought this with this case, that we have a case like this. And what my biggest concern is, Daniel, is that she talks herself into Melody would be better, kind of like the, you know, Vallow, right? Vallow case. Oh, they're zombies. And if they get to go into the other life, they'll, you know, things will be better for them.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest concern is, you know, that's kind of how I think this could have played out, although I'm praying I'm totally wrong.
Yeah, that was one of the things, because I try to go through some different scenarios, and I thought to myself, all right, well, what if, you know, there's a obviously there could be an illegal activity aspect of it. And, you know, they go do a drop, and on the way back, something happens. Somebody follows them. There's a lot of moving pieces for that, those type of things to be happening for it to not be figured out by now. You know, I think there's like if they got video and things like that, and they got video of her driving around, I think they would be able to see if there was a car also following them and things like that. And so, I just feel that that's not probable. And so it just kind of boils down to an altercation or some sort of mental episode, or maybe perhaps she felt like, you know, I struggle with it being like, maybe perhaps she felt that, you know, she left the child with somebody that she knew somewhere in this other state. Because one, those people haven't come forward, you know, what would they have to hide? Right. And two, unless it is a trafficking situation, then obviously, but if it was a scenario where she's allowing somebody to take care of her kids, you know, while she's figuring things out, why haven't they come up and spoken? You know what I mean? So I don't think that's it. What are your thoughts?
Well, a couple of things. I do believe that other than, and I say this a lot, but other than newsies and true crimers, a lot of people are oblivious. It's sort of like asking somebody in chat, you know, the last Stanley Cup score. You know, unless you're a hockey connoisseur or enjoy it, you probably could not just sit here and reel off the two finalists and what the score was, right, unless you watch it, right? But in our world of true crime, we know all this stuff. You know, nobody in true crime almost at this point would not know the name Melody Buzzard, or at least that there's a little girl missing under bizarre circumstances with the mom, generally right, speaking. But people in the regular communities and just they're living their lives, they're not tuned into all of this. So just let's say that Ashley chose somebody like that, you know, just a farmer, you know, somebody who's busy and has a life and everything. And she had a relationship, guy, girl, whoever it was, a friend that she wanted to bring her to. And that person agreed to keep her for a while she sorted out financial issues or other issues. I think it's possible that somebody like that, especially this isn't on NBC, CBS, ABC, the big, big networks at all. And yeah. I think that it could be possible that you could have a child and not know that they're wanted or missing or that there's a big issue going on. But you would ask yourself, Daniel, this girl's 9. She needs to be in school. And yeah, that should be a red flag. So to your point, do I think she left her with somebody? I really don't. I think the person would come forward because of the school issue. I think that it makes no sense to me that Melody or Ashley would want to lose control of her Melody.
Right. Right. And I think also, you know, if there was somebody else, I think that would involve a lot of communication to, especially somebody that's not close. And so I think that would have been easy to kind of figure out once he got certain warrants for the phone and activity and things of that nature. So yeah, I also find it to be unlikely, that be the case as well. You know,
I've got a question though, Daniel.
Yeah,
do
go
you
ahead.
Remember about 2 weeks ago, might've been a little bit further out than that, but around 2 weeks ago when she had tried, meaning Ashley tried to rent a car, not only once, but twice.
Yeah.
Why? So some people said, oh, she's probably trying to flee. She's not trying. To me, that just screamed of she's going back to where Melody is.
Either they should have let her.
to move the body or whatever. Well, I think, the rental car company, of course, didn't want to do it. And I don't think law enforcement knew about it till after the fact.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then they, you know, it all came out. But yes, I mean, geez, I wish that rental car company would have let her, because it, I think that's just my belief. And of course, it's based on working missing cases, working parental cases, parental kidnapping cases, we call them in the Bureau. Most of these parents do not want to lose control of their children. And I think CPS was a big threat to Ashley.
Yeah, very much so. You know, she could have been, you know, in that situation. But if that be the case, if she didn't want to lose control to like CPS, wouldn't that kind of lend towards her finding somebody to watch her for her or keep her?
Well, I just hope you're right. I really hope you're right. I hope that we're playing the odds that it doesn't make sense that somebody wouldn't come forward or somebody wouldn't put her in school. But again, somebody could put her in school and maybe under a different name and it goes unnoticed. But we all know, anybody with kids knows, they want everything. They want vaccination records. They want their date of birth. They want their social security card. I mean, their birth certificate. You can't just take a kid and go, okay, we want to put him in school. So, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, Daniel, that she was able to find somebody to keep her. Unless it was a nefarious guy that would keep her for nefarious reasons.
I don't disagree. What about manipulation? Do you think she could have manipulated somebody into thinking that maybe she was involved in some sort of abusive relationship and she was hiding and was hiding the child from somebody and didn't want her in school and those type of things? But then again, that, I think there would have to be some communication involved. And I feel that law enforcement, like that would be a simple, not necessarily simple, but that wouldn't be very difficult for law enforcement to uncover and figure out.
You know, Daniel, we're working on now a month.
Right.
That this mother, Ashley, has not seen her daughter. We're working on a month that at least to the knowledge of law enforcement, to our knowledge of what law enforcement knows, hasn't even made an attempt to see her daughter, unless it was those 2 weeks ago that I talked about that she was renting a car. Again, that's my hypothesis of why she was wanting to rent a car. Mm-hmm. But Daniel, I just can't imagine this woman who was ripping up wanted, you know,
that's true too.
Missing signs, who wants to control the narrative, who refuses to speak. About the whereabouts of her daughter, I just can't imagine she's going to let this daughter get in control of somebody else and not even call or talk to them in a month.
Yeah. Do we know, or do you know if she's ever, and she being Ashley, has ever rented vehicles for a few days at a time?
I don't know the answer to that question. You know, I thought a lot about it when they chose to rent a car. And a lot of people, you know, choose to rent cars when they're going to go 3,000-4,000 miles because they don't want that mileage on their car, or they don't have a car that they think that could make the trip.
Right.
If it were just that, that wouldn't seem so odd. But now you're throwing on wigs, you're changing out license plates. You have to get a license plate.
Yeah.
Right? You have to somehow find that license plate. So she went somewhere to find it, somehow got her hands on one. And that's all we know about. Remember, I keep thinking there could be so much more in terms of license plates. I think how they're really tracking her is, of course, the rental car, that Malibu, that's a late model. I think it was a 2024. Might have been, you know, it was a 2024 Malibu.
Yeah.
The other thing is she had to have a credit card to rent the car. And I think she used the rental car or the credit card because we know very specific stops she made. So it was likely, I believe, GPS combined with credit card purchases, because they had to eat, although she looked so skinny, meaning Melody, not Ashley, but she looks so skinny in that outfit to me. Like, look at her little pencil legs.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she looks little. And it's weird. She's wearing a wig and things like that. The whole situation is just so super strange. You know, so if we were to take a look at this map, now this is the map that law enforcement has released, and they're saying that between somewhere near the Utah-Colorado border is where Ashley was last seen. I'm assuming it was here at Green River, because this is pretty close to the Colorado border, and this is where they want to start their search. Now, I put up I looked up if you were, you know, the fastest route from Green River to Lone Poke, and it's this route. There's nothing that is sticking out of this route. Like, it's not like, oh, hey, you know, they shouldn't have turned here. You know, this put them 15 minutes out of the way or 20 minutes out of the way. This is the fastest route there. You know, what does that tell you? That it's a direct shot home, and there's nothing, like, even if there was like an altercation and I guess she wanted to, and something happened. I'm assuming because she's not been arrested that they haven't found any evidence of bodily fluids and things of that nature in the car. And there isn't like a GPS location to the middle of nowhere where she may have dumped the body. What does this tell you that, you know, from the last time that they saw her, you know, if it was the Green River, Utah area, and she just drove directly home, then nothing stands out, at least from what they're saying. What does that tell you? Well,
to me, what stands out is the route, the Nebraska route. And then this is the route home, because this is not the normal route to come home from Nebraska.
Okay.
So that confused me, why the return route wasn't one of the more direct routes. Okay. But I agree with you, once they started on the route, it's a direct route. Once she made the decision to come an indirect way home.
Right.
So it first of all, it makes no sense that she wanted to go to Nebraska and then return to her with her all in those that short amount of time, right? Yeah. 3 days to go up and back. So what this tells me, though, is on her way home, if you look at this area, this is so desolate of an area on her way home. Yeah. I mean, you're talking desert, the Nevada area, that California area. I have a case that's in that Nevada area. This is not a route to take to go sightseeing. It's not beautiful, and it is very desolate. So I'm just saying, if she did something nefarious with Melody, stop and dispose of a body, and not have it would be difficult to find on this route.
Right. But I mean, they got the vehicle, so they got GPS location, they got key cycles, they got, I'm assuming they got certain surveillance video in certain areas. Like, for instance, it appears that she goes through Las Vegas. I would assume that there's a lot of cameras there. I mean, you can kind of narrow down where you want to search to a certain extent. You know, if you're seeing all of a sudden that there's, you know, in the middle of the day on this certain time that there's a key cycle turned off and then it turns back on and there's a significant amount of time. And then you're like, all right, this is around this time of day. You go back through your cameras and you look to see, all right, she passed by, you know, St. George, Utah at one time, and then, you know, doesn't get to Las Vegas, and there's like an extended period of time there. Well, you kind of narrow down your search a little bit and you can kind of figure out some things. Don't you think?
Oh, I totally agree with exactly where you're going here. This is a puzzle that's solvable, at least to a degree. But as you know, even if you track somebody to a particular area, I'll give you a perfect example, Brian Laundrie. Brian Laundrie was very particularly tracked exactly where he was, more or less, in that reservoir, and for 5 weeks, everybody and their dog, hundreds and hundreds of law enforcement officers with every contraption, every device, every heat-seeking, latest gadget, could not find him.
That's true.
And I could go on. There's so many more. How about the Travis Decker,
mm-hmm.
who killed his little girls out in the woods, and they searched for him for, was it a month, 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Something like that. And he
was
less than a mile from where he committed the murder.
Yeah. No, they were searching for him for 5 months.
Oh, sorry. Was it that? Oh my God. I've lost track. Too many bad guys. So sorry. 5 months.
Yeah, and then they go back and
kind of start, which is what law enforcement does, is, you know, once things go cold, you have to start all over. That's what I keep saying about Sebastian Rogers, is you got to start all over. You've got to start at the very beginning and start looking. And that's what they did with Travis Decker. And what did they do? They found him. His mm-hmm. remains anyway, right? So yeah. This is the problem. You have 1,500, well, even if it's from here to there, 1,000 miles of, and I agree with you, the key cycles as well as the stops, the GPS stops for extended period of time.
Yeah.
But how precise exactly is that going to be? Are her stops going to be? Did she, like you say, did she meet somebody? I mean, that has to be considered. Did she meet somebody in the past? Melody off. This is just a lot. And even if you take that, you have to have the analysts, and this is where the Bureau gets involved, the analysts that can analyze 1,000 miles worth of key cycles and stops and all that data. Once they can even pull it from the Malibu, look at in the Karen Reed case. That case in the first trial, they couldn't even get everything they needed on from the vehicle. And that was a new Lexus, fancy new Lexus. And then it was only in the second trial that they pulled all this new information, which again, that kind of blew up. But the bottom line is, I don't even know who they have working on the Malibu and how much they've even been able to extract.
That's true. That's true. You know, it's not a TV show where everything happens in 45 minutes. You know, the things take time. This is a relatively new case. And so it could take some time before that information is not just done, but they also have to do some drive testing and things of that nature to kind of determine which direction the vehicle may have gone and those type of things. But what it does tell me is that it is a very solvable case. It just might take some time.
I think it's going to be solvable in terms of her route and her stops. I don't know if it'll be solvable in terms of finding Melody, if that makes sense.
I agree. It's been a while. And I mean, the likelihood that somebody's found after so much time is it just keeps keeps going down. Doesn't mean it's not possible.
It's possible.
You know, there's been a lot of cases, even here recently, of like people that were found, you know, in a shed or some of that nature, in a dungeon, you know, for a long period of time, and they got loose for one way or another. There's some crazy folks out there, some very crazy folks. Let's see. A couple of questions. Let's see. Daniel, has it been confirmed that the child with Ashley is Melody? Thinking of why the wigs. I believe that law enforcement believes that this is Melody. I know that there hasn't been very many new pictures of her recently. In fact, the one that everybody has seen, she looks like a little girl here. Like a really, really young little girl.
She's 7 years old there.
Yeah.
And there's a really interesting picture. I think I posted it on my Twitter. It's a Google Maps picture. And the Google Maps just happened to catch Melody and her mom going in the front door. And even then, this is still back in I believe it was July of 2023. So she's still younger. But if you look at that picture, this body build, because of course the one we see of the one you just had up with the curly hair where she's so just, you just want to squeeze her. She's so adorable. Mm-hmm. That picture, if you look at the Google map picture, she looks more elongated and much more similar to what we see in that footage. I know everybody wants to argue it's not her, it's not her. I think it's her because law enforcement says it's her and they're not trying to lead us astray.
Right.
So I very much believe that she's there with Melody.
I need to find that. I'm not familiar with the Google search that you're referring to, or the Google image.
I definitely posted it on my Twitter, I think probably the end of last week, and it's their front door, and it looks like they're bringing in groceries, if I remember right, and Melody's right there, and you'll see she much more has this look, if you will, even though she would have been much younger, 2 years younger, maybe not quite 2 years younger.
Younger,
so, but I was like, oh my gosh. In fact, I was surprised when I saw it was, I believe, July of 2023. To me, I thought, oh my gosh, was this very recent? But it ended up not being, but she still much more resembled that sort of elongated look, got that cute chubby cheek look, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I got to find it. I'll find it. I'm on your Twitter or X. Here it is. I think I found it.
Did you find it? It's not very long ago, maybe 2 or 3 ago on Melody. I post on there. There it is.
See, I mean, that's her house. Yeah. Why wouldn't it be her?
Of course it's her. You see how she's, it's a little bit more, it gives us a better vantage of what she really looks like in a full body view than the cute little picture with the curly hair.
Right.
And so, you know, just for those doubting, so imagine 1.5 years grow. Oh, there. Yeah, I posted all those. Yeah. Imagine the, you know, 1.5 years, I think that was July of 2023, growth.
Yeah.
See, so I definitely think it's her. I don't doubt law enforcement wants to find this girl, and they realize this is a Gabby Petito case. And I say that because Gabby was a missing case. Everyone was looking for Gabby. And but for the Bethunes who were, you know, driving all around the Tetons and took that van, I don't think Gabby would have ever been found. I really don't.
That's very plausible. It's very plausible. And I mean, this area that they drove through Las Vegas, you know, much of Utah. If you have dash cam, I mean, there should be cameras everywhere, but if you have the dash camera, the dash cam stuff is more, is more popular now and has become more of a thing. You know, if you were out in this area, please go send it in, even if there's nothing there, because, and I mentioned this last time, I said, you know, if you're on the street, right, and you're on the highway and you don't have anything on your dash cam, you don't see your vehicle or the white Malibu or anything, you may think that doesn't mean anything, but you know, if law enforcement has her vehicle passing a gas station and, you know, just around the same time or shortly, you know, before you or, you know, cross intersection and, you know, it's like 20 minutes later and they expect her to be there and she's not, that kind of narrows down where they might focus in on, oh, she may have turned off somewhere between here and there. You know what I'm saying? And so even if you don't have anything or you think you don't have anything, send it in because it could be important. It could be important. Let's see. We'll answer a few questions, guys. And then we'll call it a show. Gina says, has anyone heard where the stolen plate originated from? They said the plate wasn't registered to Ashley. Have you heard anything about the plate further outside of it just not being registered to her and not belonging to her or the vehicle?
Only that. And I thought that was key because I don't know about you, but you know, we've lived in so many different states. I've got a pile of these silly license plates from all over Virginia, Virgin Islands, you know, wherever we've lived, right? So I would believe that she would get the plate that somehow would go back to her or her husband or something. And the fact that law enforcement said it wasn't to her, I was really surprised, because I think it's hard to just find plates unless you get one from, say, maybe a, you know, a wreckage yard, or maybe you can buy them online. I mean, you can buy everything online.
Yeah.
So I found that interesting, because to your point, this is well planned out. This was not a, we're going to go. This is, we're going to go, but this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was something there that was planned out about this trip, and you know what the intentions are. I'm not sure. I would hope that they would be able to determine if she's made other trips like this before as well, and things like that. There was another post that mentioned, what if, you know, and sometimes these things happen, I guess, you know, you're in the wrong situation, but somebody put, what if she was, the little girl was pregnant and she was trying to hide her because of something like that. I don't know if there's any evidence of something like that, but what are your thoughts on that possibility?
I'm just saying 9 years old.
Yeah.
Would be typically like 99%. I shouldn't throw out a percentage that I can't back up. I could look it up, but is it extremely low percentage that they would be, through puberty and even be capable? Not saying it's not possible, because I know it's possible, but very, very rare for a nine-year-old. So I don't think that would be the motive. I really believe the motive is this mother being paranoid of losing her and wanting to keep control.
Yeah, I can see that being the case as well. Mountain Mama comes in with her membership for 32 months. That's...
Oh, way to go, Mountain Mama.
That's almost 3 years. That's amazing.
I love her name is, or she says, I love my turkey crew. See, I keep telling you, Daniel, that name. I just love the drunk turkey. I'll never forget hearing from you the first time. And I was like, drunk turkey? What is this guy? Because, you know, I'm sure you get some weird DMs too. Drunk turkey? Yeah. And then I looked you up and I'm like, this is going to be fun. This is going to be good. I love my Leos.
Yeah. Like I said, when we, me and the guys initially came up with the title of the podcast, true crime was not on our mind. You know, we were not thinking true crime. We were thinking we're going to be doing a lot of different things, and it's just kind of transitioned that way. And so, you know, but I wouldn't have it any other way. Wouldn't have it any other way. Crochet asks, does anyone know if Ashley has a criminal record? I'm not familiar with her record. Do you know?
No, they haven't released that. But as I mentioned, and this isn't necessarily criminal yet, but, you know, there's potential larceny issues when you're defrauding, or not defrauding, but not paying, you know, credit card company. Typically, it's all goes civil. But I don't know the degree. I don't know all those financial matters, but I found it very interesting when I saw that $23,000 debt.
That's pretty extensive. It's pretty extensive. And it, you know, you add the debt, you look at the rental vehicle, the wigs and the license plates. It's hard to not speculate that they're all connected in some form or fashion. Susan says, have they looked into the father's relatives? I'm sure they have. You know, what do you think?
Well, from the interviews I've seen, and they're, like I said, they have been out and interviewing for quite some time. There was even a half sister, and she's in her 30s, and she actually had been trying to get Melody, you know, to get custody of Melody, but of course that failed. No court is going to give, you know, a half sister custody in lieu of the mother, typically. I mean, even fathers can't get custody of their own children typically. So I think there was some interest, but it's so estranged from Ashley, and they've all said Ashley won't even let us see Melody. So that's the only reason I don't think it's necessarily in the mix.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Show Poodles asks, is a religion known? FLDS are known to hide children for members think they are doing best for the children. What do you think about a religious aspect? Maybe perhaps, like I mentioned before, maybe she's manipulating somebody into thinking that she's being abused or something to that nature, and that this is the best interest of the child.
Like really a Lori Vallow story, right? I mean, yeah. This kind of mirrors possibilities of that. Although, by the way, for anybody here, I don't buy and never did that Lori Vallow believed any of that baloney. I thought it was just convenient for her to be able to run off. But to Show Poodle, I love that name. I've seen her in my feed too. Love her. Show Poodle, I think that up here in this woman's head, a lot of it could be religiously, quote unquote, religiously driven. I think she's, and I only say this based on what the mother has said and other relatives have said, I think she's lost touch with reality, had a break, and pulled this with her little girl.
She did something, you know, and on the way back, something happened that resulted in her arriving home without her child and her not notifying anybody about it either. You know, so like, for instance, I think that kind of rules out somebody doing something to her. Like if she went to, for instance, a gas station and if she wanted to say, you know, the defense was, I went to the gas station, she was in the car, I went in, I came out, somebody kidnapped her. She never reported that. You know what I mean? So I think that also says something about the likelihood of it being, you know, and again, maybe she, there's so many possibilities with so many questions. It's all just speculative. But I don't think that would be the case, that it's something that somebody like that, like a kidnapping or things like that, because I feel like something like that would have been reported. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. I mean, the bottom line is on most cases, every case I've ever worked, it's Occam's razor. The most logical, feasible action is what happened. You know, it's usually not, you know, kidnappings and, you know, some bizarre, you know, something happening. This Ashley is responsible for whatever happened to Melody. Mm-hmm. Period. That's what I believe. And she 100% knows what happened to her. She knows what she did with her. She knows where she's at this very moment. And this is all 100% on Ashley.
I don't disagree with you. Caroline.
Say one quick thing on this note. I want to know, the 15th was when law enforcement served their first warrant. So it was really 6 days later, only 6 days later. Well, that's pretty quick. I want to know if her room was still intact. While her bedding and toys and clothes, or was it wiped?
That's interesting.
In like the Sebastian Rogers case, was it wiped or was she planning on getting her back? I tell you, if that was wiped, I think that's a huge thing law enforcement was looking for.
Sebastian Rogers' room was wiped. I'm not completely familiar with his case. I know very little.
The father, Seth, kept his room the way it is. But the Proudfoot family didn't.
That's weird. That's concerning. Let's see. Caroline on your channel says an abandoned child would seek assistance. So if, you know, we're thinking that there's an altercation and she just left her, said, all right, bye, took off. Somebody else most likely would have come across her at some point. Now, the wrong person obviously could have, and it could have turned into another serious situation. But I think somebody would have seen her walking down the road, you know, a gas station, something of that nature. It kind of leaves one very I really hope it doesn't happen, but one possibility, don't you think?
Again, to me, this is a mother who wanted complete and absolute control of her child.
Yeah.
Didn't have her in school, was homeschooling her, ripping up the missing posters, won't tell anybody about where she is. That's control, control, control. So I don't think she would ever just toss her out of the car or leave her abandoned at a truck stop. I just don't think that would be the MO of this woman.
Yeah, you're probably right on that one. Well, Jen, what do you got going on later on this week, or what's your next show for everybody to find yet?
You're so sweet to ask. You know, I've really been following closely the case of Jesse Butler. Jesse Butler is this, well, he's 19 now, but 17, had two different girlfriends and really brutalized them, sexually assaulted them, one to the point of almost death, according to the doctor's neck surgery. It was a really bad situation. And he ended up, Daniel, I don't know if you know about this case, but initially he was charged as an adult because of the egregiousness, all these charges against him. I mean, he sodomized, he used instruments. I mean, it was really gross. And he was going to be sentenced to 78 years. He pled guilty. They reversed their initial decision to treat him as an adult, and they charged him as what they call a YO, a youthful offender. And he got nothing, Daniel. He got released into the care of his parents. He's supposed to go to counseling, and he's not allowed on his devices.
That's insane. Who does he know?
Well,
who does the family know?
A lot of speculation about the dad and all these connections with Oklahoma State, I believe it was. And then the DA and the judge, they're both females. One of them went to Oklahoma State. There's a lot of connections. I haven't been able to, this is what's in the air, right? In the ether. Yeah. I have not done my deep dive on those connections yet, but you can bet you I'm going to. So there's a lot of issues with that case. And, you know, I think this guy's a ticking time bomb. Anybody who wants to strangle their partner almost to death in a sexual environment, we're just asking for somebody to become a serial rapist as an adult.
Oh yeah. This guy's going to be problems. I mean, you know, as a child, I think you said he was 17.
17 at the time. He's 19 now that he's been sentenced. And that's what everybody's up in arms now, even though this happened about 2 years ago, he's finally kind of been adjudicated. And the fact, and there's this video, and I released it on my Twitter. Oh my gosh. They're, you know, the police come for him and they say, you know, we're going to have to put you in handcuffs. And the mom says, if we really have, yes, we're going to take you to jail, but it'll just be a little bit of paperwork and then you'll be out. When you see it, Daniel, you will want to throw up. And then the mom is like, and don't forget to say your prayers. It, like, he's headed off to a Boy Scout camp or something. It was unbelievable.
That's weird. I've seen very little about it. I don't know very much about it at all. I know that Ashley Banfield had put something out there and saying that this guy got off on a very serious, you know, rape case. And, but I had no idea about the ins and outs of why or how or anything like that. I basically just saw the thumbnail. And so I know what the little kid, well, he looks like a little kid to me, but I know what he looks like. That's insane. Now there's nothing anybody can do about it now, right? Because it's like double jeopardy.
So he's got a chubby little boy face, which is probably what you're seeing, but he's big. He's like a football player.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a big old boy, but I know what you're meaning. You probably just saw this much of him, and he's got like these chubby, face.
Yeah.
But no, it's adjudicated. The only thing is if he violates during this time that he's on house arrest or whatever, he can be violated. And I'm thinking, yeah, who's keeping track whether he's on, you know, his devices? Nobody's keeping track of that, I guarantee it. And the mom isn't going to turn him in. You should see how coddling she was to him.
How long does he have, like, to not be on a device? Like, what is the time frame?
I thought it was a year, I read.
Really?
I just couldn't believe it. I mean, the whole fact that he's not going to spend a day in jail after what he did. And I mean, this girl, her whole, well, there were two girls. They're named Sarah and Jane in the complaints, in the criminal complaints. But literally, surgery on her neck from being so brutalized. And the doctor in the complaint said 30 more seconds of strangulation, you would have been dead. And you know it takes seconds to have somebody be unconscious. So she would have been unconscious well before all of this. But to actually kill somebody via strangulation takes so much time. Something that Dennis Rader, BTK, always, you know, about. A lot of these guys complain about how long it takes.
That's crazy. Sounds like Rex Heuermann, you know, big ogre, you know, crazy person. That's insane. Maybe I need to look into it, but like you said, nothing can happen to this kid anymore. I mean, he's adjudicated. It's unless he offends again. And that's the one thing that sucks about the law enforcement side of things sometimes is, you know, a lot of people will complain, and unfortunately, until a crime is committed, sometimes things can't, you know, be done. And, you know, a lot of, you know, obviously we all wish that could be different, but you know, everybody has their rights and things of that nature. But this sounds like an injustice. Can something be done about the judges or anything that, you know, that set this off? Because this sounds like a miscarriage of justice to the fullest.
Well, there is a congressman in Oklahoma. This, if we didn't say it, this all happened in Stillwater, Oklahoma. There is a congressman that apparently is wanting to look into the DA, wanting to look into the judge, and is up in arms. But it kind of reminded me of the Ellen Greenberg case, right? From the standpoint of that DA is running, and I think that election's done. I don't know if he won or not. But he was running against the person that's responsible for Ellen Greenberg, you know, that whole case being the disaster it is. And, but, you know, a lot of these politicians use this as a platform. But I always wonder how sincere they're going to be. I really actually believe in the Greenberg case, the judge that ran. I really have high hopes that he can make a difference there, because at least, like you said, there's no adjudication in the Ellen Greenberg case. It's just, you know, suicide, homicide, back and forth with the MEs, but there's no adjudication. The problem with this case is, as you said, it's adjudicated.
Yeah. There's not much you can do until he reoffends and, or violates, you know, something. But even if he violates his phone thing, it's not like they're going to give him 78 years. You know what I mean? He might see the rest of the year.
Yeah. And what's interesting and what I keep wondering, and he was only 17. I wonder if there's any other victims out there that have been too afraid, because in this case, he said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your family, to these other girls. And what a slap in the face to them. Terrified, as I'm sure they were, to put their, you know, to go out there and tell their truth and the trauma that they had to relive, telling law enforcement all these disgusting details. And they were young. I think they were like 15. I think they're, one of them's a senior this year, so 15 years old. And then have the person out living in your community. Like, oh my God, wouldn't you be, I would be so terrified that they would come back for me.
I mean, that's also going to prevent people from coming forward too.
Yes.
You know, this is going to prevent victims from speaking out, because I mean, they're going to be like, if, you know, all it's going to do is this, and you know, their lives are going to be put in the, you know, in the front line under a spotlight. And we all know how some folks can be, you know, they side with a certain side and troll and do this and do that. And we'll do everything to make even the victim's life even worse than it already is. And then for an outcome like this to be what happens, this is going to prevent people from coming forward.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's so hard to get girls to come forward as it is, mm-hmm. because they're ashamed. They blame themselves. You know, if I wouldn't have gotten in this situation, or if I wouldn't have drank a couple of beers, if I did all, you know, and they're so ashamed. And then plus they're worried that they're not going to get justice, and they're very cynical. And then you finally have two girls come forward. You have all this information. You put together this really, really solid case. And then you have, you know, the judge reverse and make it a YO case. This is wrong.
Yeah, it's insane. That's insane.
And I'm not saying 78 years. You know, he was 17. But to not serve a day is just, I can barely say it. Tease me off so much. So I'm going to have my hands full trying to look into that. I just want to see if there's any connections, like sorority sisters, or were they in the same class at Oklahoma State? You know, what the connections might be.
It sounds like it. I mean, that's the first thing that came to my mind when I heard the deal he got. I was like, all right, somebody knows somebody, maybe, you know, owes somebody something. That's what it sounds like to me right off the bat.
Although, Dan, I know you tracked the Jay Caro case, right? Emmanuel Haro. Mm-hmm. And that judge that let Jay Caro off for his daughter Promise after she basically was beat to a pulp, brain, you know, serious brain damage. That judge, there was nothing except for the judge being horrible and incompetent and thinking that children don't matter. And exactly what he said to Jay Caro, we're going to give you a second chance. You've got 6 years sitting over here. If you screw up, 6 years, we're going to give you a second chance. So some judges, I think, are so ignorant and so out of touch with what these children suffer, or they just don't care about them.
Yeah. I mean, it's unreal. That's unreal. But I mean, it makes you question not necessarily the justice system, but it makes you kind of lose faith sometimes that the right thing is going to get done, you know, before somebody's agenda, somebody's politics, somebody's thoughts or narrative. You know, that sometimes those things, you know, you have to account for those playing a role in what should be blind justice, you know, whether something's right or wrong, fair or unfair, legal or not legal, you know, should be pretty simple, and it's not.
Well, and I think we're in such a new era where now more than ever, we get to see this, and we get to, just with our keystrokes, Daniel, everybody who is on this platform can send out these stories, and it proliferates, and people can see these injustices. Whereas before, like, Stillwater knows all about this, and they're all up in arms. But the more people talk about it, the more it proliferates, and maybe laws can be changed. I think there should be a law that, I don't care what your age, if you have strangled somebody to the point of almost death, used instruments, all these things that happened to unconsciousness. So how can you give consent when you're unconscious? That you have to serve jail time, some amount of jail time. That should be the law.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when, you know, the severity of some of these crimes, definitely 100%, 100%. Well, for those that are wondering, that are watching this, my next show will be tomorrow night. I'll have Dr. Vona on. We'll be talking about, we haven't quite decided. I know we're going to talk either about this case alongside with the Jack and Lily Sullivan disappearance out of Nova Scotia, Canada. And then there was also some things that we might discuss on the Brian Koberger case. You know, some interviews that it came out. So make sure you guys like and subscribe. I'll be on tomorrow night with Dr. Vona. So you can check me out there. Jennifer, where can people find you?
You know, I'm at Coffendaffer FBI. Quite frankly, that's on X, Twitter. That's my main really communication venue. But I do have a YouTube. It's Break the Case with Jen Coffendaffer. I've been trying to go on almost every day, but my times are off right now. Unfortunately, my real work is getting in the way of my advocacy and doing a lot of the things I really love to do. So, but the next show will probably be 5 o'clock on Sunday.
There you go. 5 o'clock Sunday. It's 5 o'clock somewhere for me. You guys have a great night. Thank you, Ms. Coffendaffer, or Jen. I appreciate you so much. It's always an awesome, blessed time and a good time talking to you. For everybody else, we'll see you guys next time. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you. Thank you, audience.
Yes.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffendaffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer now.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next-day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.